Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you.
Welcome to this special call. But you know, they're all special calls. They're special calls because there are only so many people on the earth who are gathered now to talk about creating authentic power, to talk about what they can contribute consciously to the evolution of humankind, to talk about what they can contribute consciously to their own spiritual development and to the world around them and to the people around them. So this is a special call. It is a joint call of the Life School and the Masterclass Intensive.
Masterclass Immersion.
Pardon me.
It is intensive.
Immersion, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and today we're going to be talking about commitment. And I'm really excited about that because it's something we talk about intention, we talk about making choices, we talk about emotional awareness, we talk about authentic power, we talk about spiritual partnership and many other things. But I'm really excited today to talk about commitment and where that fits into the whole picture of what we're doing. How about you, beloved?
I am also. It fits in a big way. It's important to know what commitment is. You know, because Linda and I are in a spiritual partnership, as you know, and we have been for 22 years, I can tell you that on my part, there's no way that I could have remained in this spiritual partnership without commitment. I think you know that. I think you know that from your relationships that are important to you. Now, the question is, commitment to what? Of course, that's always the question, and that means commitment to my spiritual growth. If I were committed to Linda's spiritual growth, that wouldn't take me anywhere because she's responsible for that. If I were committed to our relationship, that wouldn't be a big enough commitment. Because things come up in a spiritual partnership that are specifically designed to bring your attention to what you need to heal in yourself. And when that happens, those are painful. Those are experiences of anger and judgment and compulsion and addiction and vengefulness. And if you don't have the commitment to your own spiritual development, you'll back away from it. Pardon me.
I mean, especially in a relationship where you're with the person all the time, that kind of, it's different when you're at work and you're working with someone, but you don't really have a choice about who you work with necessarily. But when you're in a spiritual partnership, whenever you're in a relationship where you're with the person all the time, then that's when, for me, that's when my commitment needed to really, I needed to really look at my commitment. Because my commitment had always been to my relationships.
Yes, that's so, what you're saying. But what I had in mind is commitment to your spiritual growth, no matter where you are, what you're doing, or who you're with.
Absolutely.
Now, it's true what Linda said, that of course it's true. When you're in a spiritual partnership and a dyadic relationship, then you're with your spiritual partner all the time. But the example she gave is, suppose you're in the workplace and you have a boss or an employee sitting next to you that is very difficult for you. And what that means is that that person activates frightened parts of your personality. Then what are you going to do? Well, there's ways that you can turn your back on that, and a lot of people do. They judge that person. They create distance. They shut that person out. They won't be vulnerable to that person. They won't look at that person as a human. They won't look at that person as a soul. They'll look at that person as rude, as obnoxious, as controlling, as demanding, etc., etc., etc. And unless you have the commitment to your own spiritual development, in that situation also, you won't grow spiritually.
Well, I was thinking about how people would say, I have the intention to have a better relationship with the people at work. Let's just use that example, since you did. They have the intention to do that. And then they keep having these experiences that are painful because the other person isn't doing what they want. So they thought they had the intention, but actually they didn't have the commitment to follow through on their intention to create a good relationship with that person, no matter what the other person is doing. In other words, to not have a distance from that person.
Yes, that's right. But don't be confused by having an intention to create the ability within yourself to relate to other people. And your success in not feeling painful parts of your personality, because it doesn't matter what your intention is. You can't control what you feel, but you can control what you will do when you feel it. Now, Linda was bringing out, what about intention? What's the relationship of that to commitment?
I think that's essential. People have to I needed to understand that.
Well, let's go into it deeply. How many of you have set New Year's resolutions and then realized that you didn't keep them? And you don't know when you realized that. Maybe you realized it 3 days after New Year's. Maybe in February sometime you woke up to the fact that you haven't kept even one of your New Year's resolutions. Has that happened to you? It's happened to me. Now, each of those resolutions is an intention. So that means you set the intention, but it didn't take you any place. After a while, you reverted to the same consciousness that you had before you set the intention. In the moment of intention setting, there was more clarity. There was an awareness of what you need to change in your life and what you desire to change in your life to make it more positive and healthy and whole. But if you don't follow through on those resolutions, you don't become more healthy and whole. You become just the way you were. You don't become anything. You remain as you were. That's where commitment comes in. Those intentions that you keep are the ones that you're committed to. So if you set the intention to grow spiritually, but then when a frightened part of your personality becomes active and you don't challenge it, you don't feel somatically in terms of physical sensations in your body, the pain of a frightened part of your personality, and choose in that moment to act in the best that you can from a loving part of your personality, then you're not really committed. If you are committed, now you're cooking with fire. Now you can set an intention and that intention will take effect. And don't forget that there are only two, essentially, intentions. One of them is love, and one of them is fear. One of them is to align your personality with your soul, to create harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life, which means to become humble and clear and forgiving and loving.
So why isn't...
And the other intention is to manipulate and to control other people and the world so that frightened parts of your personality will feel better. Now my point is this. If you're unconscious, your commitment is unconscious. Your commitment is to the frightened parts of your personality. Because if the frightened parts of your personality are not challenged, they act for you. They speak for you. They create your karma.
I guess I'm not understanding. So you're saying, I mean, I do understand, but I want to ask you so that you can clarify this.
Oh, okay.
So when you say that, I have an intention, I set my intention, I really want to make sure that I do something that I say I'm going to do that I intend to do, and then I end up not doing it. Are you saying that I wasn't committed? Is that what you're saying?
What do you think?
I do. I think I'm not committed.
Yes.
I have an intention, but I'm not committed.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It may be that you felt commitment at the moment that you set the intention.
But what's the difference? What's the difference between...
The difference is determination. The difference is you're actually doing it.
Uh-huh.
That's what a commitment is.
Yeah.
That's what a commitment is.
Yeah.
For example, may I use an example from your life that you've shared many times with the people at our events?
Of course.
There was a time in your life when you were married, correct?
Oh, yes.
And you were young, very young.
I was.
And you had two young children.
Yes.
And you realized that your marriage was to a person who was not healthy for you
or
to
them.
Be with.
Right.
Was not healthy for anyone.
Right.
But the important thing is you knew that was not, this person was not, your husband was not healthy for you to be with and was definitely not healthy for your children to be with.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet, as I understand your story, which I'm pretty sure I do because I admire it so much, you realized that you needed to be away from this person, that you couldn't stay in that relationship.
Right.
But at that time, you didn't have any training or experience about what to do in the world, much less how to take care of yourself, much less how to take care of two young children.
Right. No, I hadn't ever worked before. I didn't go to I hadn't gone to college. I hadn't done anything. I just got married right out of high school, before I even finished high school. Right.
But you set the intention to do that. You set the intention. Now, here's the thing that I want to share. You set the intention, and now, here, years later, decades later, you are living a very different life than you would have had you not kept that intention.
Absolutely.
If you had fallen back into the frightened parts of your personality that said to you, I can't do this. I can't feed myself. How can I shelter myself? What can I do with my children? There's nothing I can do except stay here with the brutality that I married. Then your life would not have changed much.
Well, I think, you know, at the time I didn't know how to say this, but I had a friend that my partner, my husband, had frightened parts of his personality that he had no idea about. I didn't know about mine either, but he had some that were very destructive for our marriage and for our relationship with our children. So I didn't want my children to think that this is the way life is or love is. And so I decided to leave, even though I didn't know what to do. I was completely determined to have a different life and to give them a different life. That was my, so what I think what I'm saying is I set an intention, even though, and I also had the commitment to follow through, because I was going to do that no matter what. I was going to have a life, a different life than I had, because I knew what would happen if I stayed.
Now, it's the no matter what that is the commitment.
Yes.
That's what makes the difference. It's determination. It's using your will. Intention shapes your energy. Intention determines the karma that you create when you act on that intention. But if you don't act on it, you don't create a different karma. Mm-hmm. If you act unconsciously, you create the same karma, which means the same consequences that you've created in the past. Yeah. Now, as you bring consciousness into your life, as you bring awareness into your life, and as you bring commitment into your life, then your life changes. Now, as you can see from Linda's story, it happened before she knew about authentic power, before she could understand or articulate frightened parts of the personality and distinguish them from loving parts. But that didn't prevent her from committing. You don't have to understand these things to have commitment. But commitment is when you know that you're going to do something no matter what. Maybe you're a parent and you say, I'm going to feed my child. I don't care what the circumstances, I'm going to protect and feed this child. That's a commitment. You don't have to be on the spiritual path to make a commitment. But when you're on the spiritual path, it requires commitment to stay on the spiritual path, because the spiritual path is transformative. It changes your life. But let me be more specific. When you're on the spiritual path does not change your life. You have the opportunity to change your life. It is you that changes your life when you decide to act with love instead of fear. That is the commitment. Without that commitment, you can talk about authentic power,
right.
You can say you're a spiritual person, and you can believe it. And there's nothing wrong with not following through on an intention. The universe doesn't judge you. I don't judge you, and Linda doesn't judge you. And I suggest that you not judge you, and that you not judge other people. Simply look at the cause and the effect. If you don't put your commitment behind your intention to change your life, behind your intention to create authentic power, to align your personality with your soul, then you continue to act unconsciously from frightened parts of your personality. Which means you become angry and you act in anger.
But that's because the frightened parts of the personality are very committed to getting what they want. The frightened parts are very committed. They want to take care of their agenda, whatever their agenda is. If it's getting angry at the world, if it's feeling like a victim, if it's feeling superior, they are committed to continuing to act on that agenda and try to manipulate and control so they get what they want. So if you don't decide, that not only set your intention, but you are committed to making sure, especially when it comes to your spiritual growth, because that's the, that I, even though when I was very young, I didn't know about spiritual growth. I didn't understand what I was doing. I didn't know about authentic power. But then when we moved to, when I got into it, when Gary and I met, then I actually consciously made a commitment to, I actually set an intention to grow spiritually, but I deepened my commitment to do that. I mean, I meant it. I was going to do it no matter what, even as painful as it was, because it was very painful, because so many frightened parts came up that wanted to leave the relationship, that wanted to blame Gary, that wanted to do anything else but grow, to look at myself and change myself. But I knew that I had set that, and I kept setting it. I mean, I kept saying, I am going to do this. This is my commitment. There's nothing more important than this. And once I did that, everything began to change in my life in a big way.
So be
consciously.
Thank you, beloved.
You're welcome.
Be gentle with yourself. What we're saying is this. If you set an intention and you put your commitment behind it, and then you discover later that you didn't follow that intention, don't judge yourself. Start again. In other words, reset the intention and this time commit to it again. Again. Every addict goes through a phase of setting the intention to kick the habit and then doesn't kick the habit and then goes back to setting the intention, but this time really doing it. It's the really doing it part that heals an addiction. Not just the intention, the commitment to that intention. So your commitment is to growing spiritually when you create authentic power. So if you find yourself with someone you love or someone in your workplace that you're in a power struggle with again, and you understand that a frightened part of your personality is interacting with a frightened part of that person's personality again, that is the moment to create authentic power. That is the moment to stop the power struggle in you. And that's how you create authentic power. And that takes commitment to do. Now what happens if you don't do it? The power struggle goes on. And then how do you feel for the rest of the day? Who won? Who can ever win a power struggle? Everyone loses, including you. You lose your focus. You lose your compassion. You lose your awareness. Awareness of your focus and your compassion. So you go back to it. And the next time you're with that person, when you feel the same frightened part of your personality become active, and you see it might be activating a part of theirs or vice versa, then you remember in the moment not to let yourself speak and act from the frightened part of your personality that is active in you. Then you bring your commitment to bear. Then you change your life. That's what we're talking about. I think you understand that, but it's important to be clear about these things. How important commitment is, because you can't change your life without it. You can't do anything significant without commitment. You can do significant things. People say sometimes, I'm going to be a millionaire before I'm 30. I'm going to have a Maserati. I'm going to, whatever it is, that in the intention can come from fear, the intention can come from love. And Linda pointed out something very interesting, I feel. Every frightened part of your personality is committed. And you know what it's committed to? It's committed to pursuing external power. It's committed to changing the world, including other people, so that it'll feel better and safe. And every loving part of your personality is committed to living a life of awareness and love, a life of authentic power. And you get to choose among those commitments, among the commitments that your frightened parts hold and the commitment that your loving parts hold. And that is your commitment. That is the no matter what part of your life. And once you realize that, you will long to be in the company of people who will support you in that, who will not support the frightened parts of your personality that are committed to manipulating and controlling others, that are committed to impressing and getting admiration.
So are you saying that someone can tell what they're committed to by what's happening in their life and what they spend their time doing? they can tell if it's a frightened part of the personality, that they're following that commitment of that frightened part by losing consciousness, by being unconscious and doing things that are that satisfy the frightened parts of their personality, or are you doing things that satisfy the loving parts of your personality? And I was thinking about...
Well, let me answer your question.
Sure.
Yes, you were referring to the law of attraction that brings like energy into your life, and mm-hmm. it brings you to like energy. So the answer to Linda's question is, can you tell what you're committed to by looking around you? Yes, you can. Are the people in your life in general angry, judgmental, vindictive, feeling superior, feeling inferior? Now, that doesn't mean all of the people in your life all of the time. But you know, when you look at your life, what the flavor of that is. I look at my life when I was living in San Francisco in North Beach, and I was feeling a victim, and I was feeling superior. And I would meet almost every day in the coffee shops in North Beach with my friends, and we would talk about physics or philosophy, but always with a sense of superiority and entitlement. And if I could have, and making fun of others, judging others who weren't intellectual like us, who didn't comprehend what we did, who didn't even see it as important. If I knew enough then to look around me, I would say to myself, the people that are closest to me, that are drawn to me and I'm drawn to, are feeling superior, judgmental. They don't really care about people. They care about what they want themselves. They think of themselves as caring people. And I could have had a picture of myself. The world was giving me a picture of myself. So the answer to Linda's question is, yes, look around you. And if you're living in a world of loving people, that's a wonderful reflection. If you're living in a world of angry people like I was, that's a wonderful reflection too. Now, what are you going to do about the wonderful reflection that you're getting? In my case, the pain became so great, that I knew I needed to change, and then I learned about authentic power, and I've been applying it ever since.
So I think, to me, the main message for me about this is that you can set your intention to do a lot of different things in your life. You also have intentions that are coming from frightened parts of your personality that are unconscious. But the only thing that's really going to change your life is when you are able to tell the difference between fear and love in you and choose love. And that means, and when you choose love, you're setting an intention to continuously choose love. If you don't put your will behind that, the frightened parts will come up and take over your life. And they do have commitments. So you have to decide whether you're going to be committed or not, what you're going to be committed to, because you are. Because if you're acting in the world and speaking in the world from fear, that's your commitment. If you just choose to do it differently, then you begin to act from love. You begin to, in my relationship with Gary, instead of leaving the relationship when it got hard, when I would start feeling a lot of pain and when I'd want to judge him, over and over again, I kept feeling my own pain, feeling what was going on in me, noticing that I had frightened parts active, and doing my best to challenge them. So resetting my intention to do that, and knowing that I had this deep commitment to change myself, that's what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to do that, and I wasn't going to let anything stop me from doing that. And I'm still doing that, still in that place.
That's beautiful, beloved. Let me leave you with one last thing, another way of looking at commitment.
Mm.
What do you stand for?
Mm.
What do you feel you stand for? Some people stand for a bigger bank account or a more profitable stock portfolio. Some people stand for a big house or a trophy husband or a trophy wife. Some people stand for being cared for. Mm. Some people stand for being appreciated for caring for other people. Some people stand for becoming famous, and some people stand for being a victim. Some people stand for developing the ability to move through the world with an open heart without attachment to the outcome. In each case, what you stand for is your commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So look at what you stand for, because that's your commitment. And then ask yourself, is this commitment worthy of my life? my life, not this part of my life or that part of my life, is this commitment worthy of committing my life to it? Mm-hmm. And by the way, be aware when you do this, because some people might say, yes, I'll commit my life to saving Mother Earth. I'll commit my life to protecting women. I'll commit my life to protecting immigrants or migrant farm workers. Yes, that all sounds good, but what is the intention underneath that? Are you doing those things to feel better about yourself or superior? Are you making yourself into a martyr? That's not a spiritual path.
Or making other people wrong.
Or making other people wrong, yes. So when I say, is your commitment worthy of your life, I'm talking about the commitment of love or the commitment of fear. In my experience, there is no commitment of fear that is worthy of my life. But let me say that also from the perspective of the soul. Every commitment you have teaches you more about your creative capacity and how you're using it and your responsibility for it. Even if I were committed to being the cruelest, meanest prison guard in the county, there's learning in that. Mm. There's destruction, but there's learning. We're in the Earth School, not to judge one another, but to grow spiritually. So look at your commitment. Look at your life. Are you moving it in the direction you want to? The direction that's calling you? That's an important thing to look at, because now what is calling you, what is required for your evolution, what is required for the evolution of our species is spiritual growth. And nothing else will satisfy that.